right here, so. Oh, we topped it. We cold topped it.
Okay. Try to get up. Yeah.
Dave Iron.
Oh, we shanked it. Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.
Welcome to the Bogey Boys podcast.
You're joined here by Kevin and Mark, as always. What's been happening?
To apologise, don't I think.
Oh.
We built it up.
It's okay.
We built it up. I'm just amazed that we never got beat 10-8.
I know. So we it built was on it the up. Cards, wasn't it, when they were 6 up through 6?
Honestly. So we built it up, didn't we, last week, that we were in the Mizuno match play semi-finals. And we got our ass handed to us, didn't we?
Handed.
And it's all my fault.
Well, do you know what? We made a good comeback, really, didn't we?
In our defence, we had to give one guy 19 shots. He got 19 shots and another guy got 14.
Yeah.
And better ball, they were one or two overgrowth through 6 holes.
They were making pass from all over the place, weren't they?
Yeah,
like, they went shite after the fact, didn't they?
Yeah,
like,
when they'd already wrapped it up through 6.
Yeah, yeah. And then you come alive then. Two beers after nine, and then didn't hold a putt all day, and then start boxing 40 footers from everywhere on 17 and 18 when it meant nothing.
I think being 6 down after 6, though, we've done well to only lose 3-2, but...
No, we did.
I'm happy to take the blame.
Well, we won 3 on the bounce, and then both knocked one out of bounds with an iron on 14.
Well, we got it back to 3, didn't we? Got it back to 3 down with 5 to play. And then both, yeah, knocked it out of town, lost ball on 14 and just gave them the hole then.
Oh,
we were dormy four then.
Joke.
Won 15 and then lost 16, but...
16 was sort of my fault, wasn't it, as well? Because I thought in my
head... three putter, didn't I?
Yeah, and I thought I had to chip in and then didn't get up and down.
So you needed to get up and down, and I needed to two putt to win the hole to take it
and
to
we
17.
Didn't you ever get up and down
and I three putted.
Oh, well.
Moral of the story, don't drink for 14 hours the day before.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
A Mizuno match play
it's
event.
Funny when you looked at me and went, yeah, that ale might have actually been doing something to me.
I was trying to convince myself I was all good.
Yo, I feel so fresh today. I feel so fresh. This is great. And talking yourself into it, you turned up just stinking of booze. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be fun.
It happens, unfortunately.
Oh, it does, yeah. It does.
Although I'll take a little bit of the blame, I did originally have us in for the Friday.
You did.
And we had another match on Friday with Ollie, didn't we?
Yeah.
And Bry.
I know, sick match that one, eh?
And we were 4 under gross, better ball, weren't we?
We were flying there.
So if we'd have played on the Friday like we were supposed to, we would have won.
I don't know what happened there, but it was good that you wingled your little day off work, though.
I'll take them all day, yeah, no problem at all, yeah. And you played any other golf?
I just played a match then, to be honest, against this fella. It was a scratch match, like, it's fella off 5, and I was flying, but I had 2-3 putts on the front nine, I was still 2 up. Like, it was, like, I was alright, do you know what I mean? I was hitting a few greens, like, birdied the 10th, and then lost the ball on the 11th, second shot in was horrendous, and then 3 putt at 12 for the half, 3 putt at 14, 3 putt at 16, and left myself a 10-foot and a 12, and then got back to one down, going down 17. One up, sorry, going down 17. And then he was close and like 20-foot away. I was like 30-foot. I putted it up to 20-foot. I was like, what is going on here? And then I drained the par putt anyway. And then went down 18, knocked it down you go down the 7 fairway.
Yeah.
And
that intentionally?
Well, I just wasn't going in the water. It was miles down there. It was ripped, you know what I mean? Yeah. It was that line down there. He laid up. And in my head, I knew I only needed a par to win. Or like I needed to make the same score or tie to win. And I just hit this 5-wood.
Just go for it?
Yeah, went for it.
Straight in the water?
Straight in the water. Left, man. I was like, clipped the trees. My club slipped out my hand and everything. Didn't get up and down my second ball. He held a good nice putt, actually. Like 10 foot, he missed his birdie putt and then held a nice 10-footer for par. Down the first, and honestly, I've put it to like 2 inches. Like,
have you?
Literally, like, he walked over, he went, oh my God, thought that went in.
Gimme.
And then he missed, but game over. But I need to up my game. I've got a lad called Henry Gibbs in the next round off plus 3. Is
what round's that now?
I think it must be the semis, I think.
Nice.
So,
keep us posted.
In the final of that.
Another playoff, though.
And now another playoff.
You're talking playoffs there. We've had God knows how many playoffs these last. What these last God knows how many weeks? Another playoff in the Olympics. There was a 7-man playoff in the Olympics for the men's,
it's a joke,
and then
isn't
obviously
it?
The WGC St Jude Abraham Hunter.
I know,
Some boy.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I read a little quote by his caddy, by his coach, saying he's the type of guy, if it's like sleet outside, like snow, he'll give you a shot of tequila and say, like, let's go to the range.
Yeah.
And they have a shot. I've seen a video of him or a picture where it's all raining. He must have just had a little tequila to warm up, and then they get on the range like, my man.
Our type of guy, that, innit? Our type of player, that, yeah. Didn't realise he was 30.
I know, he seems, looks, anyway, a lot younger, doesn't he?
Mm, he's been on tour since 2015. That's when he originally made his debut. Funny story I heard, actually, about that. He played with Rory McIlroy at the Safeway. That was his debut tournament. And he come off in his interview, and he was saying, like, I don't belong on this tour. I can't strike it nowhere near as good as these. And that win this week has bumped him up to 11th in the world rankings, 2 ahead of Rory now in the world rankings.
Just shows you, doesn't it? Like, if you put the work in, you can improve, can't you? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, look, if you look at his statistics throughout that's his 121st start to get his win. But other than that, he's had 5 top threes, 20 top tens. He's actually picked up $13 million.
Not bad, is it?
Not a bad start, is it?
Not bad.
Yeah, but he's only been on tour for the 5 years. Gets his first win. We always say, don't we, it's not easy to win on tour.
Of course not. Everyone's ready to win, aren't
but
they? Like,
big improvement on a stroke gain putting this week. He was 43rd for the season. So he's improved on improved on that this week, and he was first in strokes gained scrambling for the week.
That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Getting up and
it's
down.
It's all about scrambling.
Because he struggles with the distance. He's out of the 65 players that finished, because I don't know if you know this, but Higo withdrew.
Yeah. I was hoping you weren't going to get onto that. Why?
I don't know, but you picked him again, didn't you?
I've just went back to the first ever episode of this podcast, and we're discussing, like, it's a bit harsh, like, if players are withdrawing and that. I thought I made the rule up.
Oh, I don't know what happened. It was so long ago, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm arguing the case against myself, I think, my own rule, because I've picked Kepka and
he withdrew the first week.
That's a harsh rule, lad. Still.
It all comes around. The one week where there's no cut and you don't lose points, you actually lose points.
I know. Karma, man. Karma. Can't believe that stupid rule.
Definitely, yeah. But out of the 65 players that did finish, he's 57th in the field for driving distance. So when you're so far behind, and we know the length of the course is on the PGA Tour now, don't we?
Definitely, yeah.
You do have to rely on that. One interesting stat about his week is his average leave into greens is around 32 foot. But this week, what I noticed, he was getting the ball close to the hole,
giving himself more chances. Doesn't seem that close, does it?
It doesn't, and I don't know what the average is.
Well, maybe because he's coming in with longer clubs than, like, wedges and stuff to the average.
Potentially, yeah, because he's so far out. Yeah, he's
obviously going to miss the green a few times. In fact, yeah, boss that 30 foot. It just doesn't seem like tour, does it? Like,
no,
you're
always used to them knocking it close. Yeah, but when you think about it, what we only watch normally the top 10 to 12 players, don't
suppose,
we, on the telly, and they're the ones who
only
are playing
the best shots as
the
well.
The best shots, so yeah, so... it doesn't give a true reflection, but I just thought that was an interesting stat, that, because watching him and watching the tournament for the week, he was knocking a few close and obviously stuck it as close as you can get, really, on the second playoff hole to take the victory.
And I was good on the first playoff hole. I thought, why's the ref stepping on here? And yeah, come on, with a tape measure to work out, like, who's going first, and thought, oh yeah, there's a lot at stake, really, isn't there?
Just a bit, yeah.
You know what I mean? But his caddy, it said to him, like, when he seen the other boys faltering behind, he says, today's your day, and kept saying it to him. He said, even when he got in the car to go back up to the playoff, he was like, today's your day.
Brilliant.
Today's
keeping
your day.
His
just
head,
keeping
yeah.
him, making him believe. And then the caddy even says, and I think he actually believed it.
well, in his interview afterwards, he was 5 back, I think, after 9 holes. I think he was on 9 or 10, and Harris English and Bryson were on 8 or 9, whatever. And 5 back. So you're thinking, you're not gonna, when you've got that level of competition in front of you, they're both not gonna throw that away, are they?
Well, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You wouldn't
not.
Have thought so, but
never.
It had to be down to the
well, they both threw it away. And what about Cam Smith when he's going into 18 and he hits the tree and shoots
out of bounds.
He was 16-under at the time as well.
Yeah, that doubles cost him, hasn't it?
Like all he has to do, if he makes par there, he's in the playoffs.
He's in the playoff,
you know
yeah.
Like, unthinkable, isn't it?
Unthinkable indeed.
And he was so chilled about
What else can he do, though, in that position? He's obviously sliced his drive, hasn't
he?
No,
just don't hit the tree. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you've got a tournament on the line. Like, get it? Like,
so you think rather than going for the shot, he should have chipped out maybe? And
a little bit less risky shot.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
Because how good... Well, think about it. How good is putting
18 puts and 18 holes on day two.
And how good does Wedge play? Obviously, like anywhere within 100 yards, surely is for them boys, and especially for him, is a par, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Well, you think he's dropped his third, played his fourth, and he still made a six. So that would have been a
up
four. It would have been the four that he needed to get into the playoff. Yeah, as we know, wouldn't guarantee him win, but he's
at least it gets him in with a chance, doesn't it?
1,000,000%. Yeah,
you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. But English, like, I think his head fell off on the 10th. Harris English.
Do you think?
Because he was putting, and then his putt went, and then a leaf blew onto his line. The ball went over the leaf, and he called the ref in, saying, like, I'm just making sure it's not a penalty.
But I think that goes back to the whole way his head was scrambled from the fifth.
Well, exactly, yeah. From the fifth, play.
Yeah. So yeah. The ref's come over on the fifth hole, hasn't he, and said, look, the group in front are on the clock or watching them for time, which means that you guys are as well. So, you know, sort of get a move on. And then the sixth hole happens where Bryson has that big
kerfuffle over the fence. Yeah,
getting his drop, and that took a long time. And then obviously you've just mentioned on 10, he's calling the ref over the leaf.
Yeah.
And then what happens on 11? Harris English goes in the water, makes a 5. Bryson goes in the water, then into the bunker, makes a 6. And straight away, the tournament's open to everybody.
Definitely,
again.
Yeah.
And they feel like they're rushing round, trying to hit shots, and they're not taking the time. And Harris English was open about that at the end to say, maybe I need to improve. But Bryson's naturally a slow player anyway, so what's your view on the whole slow play situation?
Well, obviously I think you remember we were playing open qualifying and like we got a couple of seconds behind and the ref was out on the buggy threatening to put us on the clock.
Yeah,
I don't know, I think they should be on the clock. Yeah, there's a lot of time. If there's a rule, it's like, why shouldn't they be?
Obviously we were one of the first out at open qualifying, so you know, if we're slow at the beginning, it slows the field right back up.
But we were
slow
on numbers. We weren't actually slowing anyone down, sort of thing, was we? That was like my sort of point.
Well, we lost a hole, didn't we?
Yeah.
I think. But then we caught that hole back up. But then what that tends to do is the groups behind you slow down. My view is they lost a hole and a half, didn't they, on the back nine?
It's a bit much, isn't it?
So
people have got like places to be in that, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, hanging around all day watching Bryson take a drop for half an hour.
Do you know what I mean? Adds to the drama. But do you think the refs are going to call that though? Such a big tournament. I know we mentioned, didn't we, about how unfair it was on Catlin. Remember John Catlin in the major got a penalty for slow play? And it just seems like the lower profile player you are, maybe there's more chance that you're going to get penalised.
Well, do you know what? It is so right, because I was just reading Tiger's book there, just finished it, haven't I? Unreal, by the way. And remember the 14-year-old that played the Masters and he got a slow play violation?
And
he was the only person ever at Augusta to get the slow play.
Yeah.
And then Tiger done something that in the rules, and he was slow and he dropped it from the wrong spot in 2015. He didn't drop it by his divot. He dropped it 2 yards back and said he dropped it 2 yards back, and it's not in the rules. But it should have been called on him before the day ended, and it wasn't until the next day.
Right, okay.
So then he was talking about how it's one rule for Tiger and everyone, and this poor 14-year-old, I think he's Chinese or Japanese, gets a penalty. So definitely the bigger profile player you are, the less chance you are getting penalised. 1,000,000%.
Well, that's it. I mean, the odds that they're going to call that on the final round of a WGC event when it's so close. Not to either of them, no. Both failed to break the 40 mark, didn't they, on the back nine. But it just makes me think, when you look at them both in the top 10 in the world,
multiple winner this season, Harris English.
Yeah, both of them going for the third win. But they're never going to call a slow play penalty when there's so much money at stake. There's such a big high profile tournament, unless it was really, I mean, because a hole and a half is a lot, like you've just said there.
Yeah.
So how long do you let it go? I mean, I don't know what the Catlin situation was.
He's obviously doing that in the tournament as well, isn't he? Not just on the final round on a Sunday, Bryson.
Well, yeah.
He's known for it.
And let's be honest, if you're 5 holes in, we were like 6 holes in when it got called, wasn't it?
Yeah,
the 6th tee it got called. Yeah, so it's, you can always pick the pace of play up as your momentum grows. I don't know. I do think that slow play is an issue in amateur golf and in professional golf. If you're at SNA or Formby Hall and you fall a hole and a half behind, there's an issue there. Do you know what I mean?
You're having to let
people play through, or you need to hurry up.
But we've got the excuse of, you're looking for balls, you're not the best player, you haven't got people standing exactly where your ball is to be like, there, you know what I mean? You know where you are. Like,
yeah.
You've got a 100-yard walk sometimes if you haven't got a full line on it.
Yeah.
And then at SNA, because sometimes it can bounce, sometimes it can stop. You've got a massive blind place shots, where your ball could be.
Yeah.
So it takes you a minute to go and look. And it's the same for everyone out there. But these, they're slow plays through, like, decision making and talking it over. And that drop when he's pointing at the spot and then he dropped it, like, and it was just too long.
Just taking too long.
Do you know what I mean?
So what's the
took too long discussing the spot where he was gonna drop it.
What's the alternative? You think do what they're doing?
Give them a penalty?
Yeah, I think penalties penalise them.
Massive, and it'll be
But it's gotta be fair across the board and it's gotta be to a standard.
Of course, yeah.
Like if you lose a hole and a half or a hole or two holes, whatever they agree on. At that point,
not even
that happens.
because you could lose a hole by them playing faster as well. So just if you take more than your allotted time three times, you'll get a two-shot penalty.
It's not good. I mean, something's got to give. Bryson's involved in it again, isn't he? And he's been involved in quite a lot. And for all his good play this season, as you say, he's a two-time winner this season. He's what he's done at the Arnold Palmer excites us all. Trying to go for that par five, do you know
exactly,
what I mean? So
yeah.
There's so many good things about him, but I just think he seems to be getting himself caught up. He's obviously getting heckled by the crowds again, isn't he?
Good one. Did you see that?
Yeah. But I just think obviously the Brooks beef's calmed down slightly, which is good to see because it was getting a bit silly, wasn't it? We spoke about that. But obviously he's lost his caddy now, hasn't he? He's got a new caddy, so that's obviously a massive change in his game, but he's still contending.
Well, I think the caddy on the Sunday really got a few decisions wrong with Bryson, or should be stepping in and taking, like, he drove it too far into the water on
11, where it's a long
really
par 3.
Long? No, really, that was, he misclubbed that, but that at the back of the bunker, which is a bit unlucky.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I think it was 15, he drove it, he hit 3, wasn't it? And the commentators were like, it went into the water.
Yeah, it went left into the water.
And then
yeah.
Another one where he hit it long, he hit a few of his wedges dead short, like, he got a few decisions massively wrong, where it's like, bread and butter, that really, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that's just a learning thing as they try and understand, because Bryson, I can imagine, he's not going to be the easiest guy club. Well, you know, he'll obviously know his numbers and stuff, but, you know, he swings it slightly faster, it's going slightly longer, isn't it? You know,
no,
it's
definitely, yeah.
It's the way he is. So, I don't know, I just think he seems to be getting himself caught up in a lot of controversy. Like, he come out...
I think he likes it, mate.
He does, but then is it going to... It's impacting his game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Although he's contending this week, it's just there's too much going on, I think.
Like, really, Hudson Harris English already shanking it on 14 as well into the water.
Yeah.
Like, and then making two doubles on two par threes. Bryson playing with him, he should be capitalising on that.
Yeah.
Imagine that was like someone else, like a Tiger or someone, like
any of the top ten players in the world. Yeah, they wouldn't do that. Yeah.
I mean, that's you're catching four shots on him there, but he didn't.
He went the other way. He shot a worse score. He shot 41, and English shot a 40. So he ends up one shot worse than him. Yeah.
Did you see Mickelson? He had his putter, you know, his little blade putter that he's got.
Yeah.
Arm lock on the first day. It was like 39 inches, like Bryson's.
Yeah.
Then the next 2 days he had the normal, and then on Sunday he was back with the longer one.
Was he? Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't Gangster see that. No.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't mess about, does he?
You know, but speaking of putting, do you know what the record for 72 holes is? Putting, how many putts?
Well, the record on the PGA Tour?
Mm.
Well, we know the record for 18 holes is 18 putts, isn't it?
Yeah.
81.
That's nearly one putt every hole every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. 92.
So it's that far away.
And I went 81, lads. Like,
did you want my record? Mine's 72.
Yeah, yours is 69. Well, yeah, 92 by David Frost.
That's some going that. What did he shoot? Do you know?
Doesn't go.
He must have been low, like. He must have been low, mustn't he?
You've got to remember, you could miss every green, chip it up, and then have a one putt.
Could be, yeah.
You know
or
what
just,
mean?
Yeah. Or knocking them in from off the green and things.
Yeah, like, so
bogeys.
It's a bit of a mad record, really, but it still stands, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, Cam Smith had four non putts for his 18.
Yeah.
For his 18 putts in one round, wasn't it? So. Congratulations, Abe Anser, in the winner's circle, finally. We'll see where he can go from here.
It was like Ortiz was like the after best Mexican now. He's sort of like well better than him, you know.
Yeah, well, Ortiz has gone. Ortiz won in 2020, was it? Was it the back end or the beginning of 2020?
It was between the COVID thing, because I remember he was fist bumping everyone and high fiving.
Right,
yeah.
What's going on here?
Thought there was a COVID thing going on.
And that was that the first win in like 30, 40 years?
For a Mexican to win.
And now obviously back to back in years, one in 2020, one in 21. It's only going to grow the game in Mexico, isn't it?
Definitely. Which is
what we want to see, yeah. But no. Hopefully we'll see more of him. He's obviously going to be playing in the President's Cup, isn't he? Because I've never really looked at this, but looking to see like what's a stronger team at the minute when you look at the President's Cup team potential and the Ryder Cup team, because I mentioned Harris English and Bryson DeChambeau both being top 10 in the world. There's only John Rahm and Louis Oosthuizen, one from Europe, one from President's Cup team, South Africa.
Yeah, that's what you mean.
Who are in the top 10 in the world, so... Be interesting to have a look as we look further down the world rankings to see what them teams look like, to see which is stronger.
Should make like a little four thing, you know, where they have like Europe, like a continental thing.
Yeah, with the four teams and make
a big hit.
Yeah.
We should sort that out. that's a bit of a logistical nightmare, don't it? But we'll get that sorted.
Hero Open time.
Grant Forrest.
Forrest, not Forrester.
Not Forrester.
Okay, Grant.
I don't know
Forrest.
Why I kept saying that. I've even typed it here. So, unbelievable. What you like to see, making a bogey on 16 and then stiffing it on 17, knock it in and then going for 18 and 2,
yeah.
Making your birdie.
You love all that,
don't
you?
I love it.
Make your birdie. Go out and win the tournament.
That's it.
Don't try and hold the lead.
A million percent.
No, what a tournament it was. I mean, it was literally luck of the draw, first day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You go out in the morning, shoot whatever you want. There was 7, 8, 9 unders, 1 9 under from Callum, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Scottish lad leading the way at the beginning, Scottish lad winning the tournament at the end.
They cried that in.
Yeah.
All you heard. This has not a Scottish show winner since was it McGinley or was it, or whoever?
McGinley Scottish, is he?
Whoever he is.
Montgomery.
Since, who was it?
Did you say McGinley?
He's Irish. Whoever it was that won it.
Monty, maybe?
It was in 2003 or something. They were going on.
Was they?
Crying it in. How come there's been no Scottish winners then, Nick? And they were just chatting about it. And I was thinking, obviously going to be a Scottish winner now. But 62, we had the 62, didn't he? 10 under.
Yeah.
6 birdies in a row. It was on the Saturday or the Friday? Saturday.
Saturday, the 10 under, yeah.
Unbelievable, that.
It's crazy golf.
And like, it wasn't even the best conditions, was it?
I can't wait to see how easy that is when I go next week. I'll keep you all posted to see whether I could shoot 10 under.
Like, do you know what I mean? 23 under? Yeah, 23.
Well, there's a few of them, wasn't there? Slattery shot a bogey 3-7 under on the final day to finish in the top 40. So, the scoring
tough
was...
school, isn't it?
Very tough, yeah. The scoring was out there. But then you look at the lads who went out in the afternoon on day one and then the morning day two, just constantly facing the wind, weren't they?
It is.
It's like in
tournaments. Look at the draw, as you say, though.
It is look at the draw, yeah. We look back at when we spoke about the Open at Royal St. George's there. Look how calm it was and look at the score in there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You catch your day where the wind is up.
That's what it's about, isn't it? The only protection them courses have got, because otherwise, it's like, look at West Lancs when there's no wind. You see that lad who had a 59 and you see like Manicero had a 61 and stuff. Like, you see them every scores because the greens are pure and they take the ball like receptive, don't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I felt for Barry Henson. Do you know who he is?
No.
So he's an Uber driver and he's like, I think he's getting on, though, he's 47 or something. And he's the American guy.
Yeah, sorry.
He shot 5 under, 5 under, 5 under. And then shot level on the last day, but it was...
But he was playing in the Howler, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was one of the low scorers in the afternoon on day one,
In the Howler, yeah. Which is good effort by him, innit?
Very good. So what's his story? What's his backstory?
I don't know. I didn't actually do a full segment on him, like, but I just seen that he was driving Ubers last week.
Was he? Yeah. Now he's earning cash on the European tour.
Now he's flying on the European tour,
yeah. Fair play to him.
I don't know how he got... He's American, so I don't know how he got his invite or whatever, but... Could you qualify for this, could you? Or no? You couldn't, could you?
No, but I think you can get invites, yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be invitation, won't it? I mean, there was a lot of...
People not playing, not a bit of big boys not playing, really.
Yeah, there wouldn't have been many big boys playing in it, yeah, I think.
Yeah. But good tournament, though, wasn't it, all round?
Yeah, I enjoyed
it. Mad little UK and Ireland swing, did they have that last year? Is that why
they continued it? It was quite successful last year, and I think that's because there is so many restrictions still around, say, obviously the... tournament in Portugal.
Has something been cancelled then for these weeks that are happening here? Because
the Portugal Masters
tournament this week, hasn't been played since 2002, has it? The English Open or whatever.
Yeah, the Kazoo Classic it's called now, isn't it? Yeah. So,
but it must be like they must have like brought all these events.
Well, I know it was successful last year, wasn't it? Where they done a UK swing, didn't they? Where they played the Belfry and they went to Celtic Manor, didn't they? And went round a few of the tournaments and played there. So I think given the restrictions, and I know they've cancelled a few European tour events so far this season because of restrictions. Maybe they've just kept it as it is.
Just while it all sort of...
Just while it all settles down, yeah. And hopefully next year we'll have a full calendar and all the classics will be back on the roster.
Should really keep it if England and Ireland and Scotland, they've got the best... They have the Open here, don't they? They've got the best course.
Well, it's good to see more links golf, yeah. Fairmont is a links course, isn't it? Mm. You know, it was good to go out and see. Although you're not getting the top players there, it's sort of got an open feel to it, hasn't it? Because it's a similar style of golf course. So definitely think that we need to see more links golf tournaments.
1,000,000%
on the tour.
Not just the hotel resort park.
There's
a big shout for that, you know, I reckon.
I agree.
I know that even though they burnt that up there this week, 23 under, but really, if there's wind and you're playing like a link, say you played Birkdale and just a normal European tour event, not the Open.
Yeah.
Like, they do that on the PGA Tour, don't they? They play the Olympic Club or they play Congressional, not as a major.
Yeah, and then they'll go back and play.
Why do they only use these courses as major venues?
Well, just because there's only really, and if you look at it, there's only really three events, probably three in the UK, the Scottish Open, the Irish Open and the Open, where you'll attract the big names in. You won't really attract the big names in any other...
Yeah, but why do you need the big name? Do you have the Brabazon? They had tournaments at the Belfry, didn't they, at Celtic Manor? So why can't they do them at, Royal Liverpool or Birkdale again and just have a European tour event there? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they can do, yeah. I don't know why they wouldn't. Are we going to sort that out?
We're going to sort that out. The Bogey Boys for Director of Operations on the European Tour is the new shout. Got a lot of sorting to do after this.
You have, yeah. I'll be sorting the pod. And then the only other competition, we can't forget the women's Olympics.
Yeah, unbelievable.
And again, weren't she? Nelly Korda.
A putting? It's just a joke.
I think it all game's just a joke, isn't it? I mean, what? There's nothing she can't do at the moment.
I know. What, she need a birdie on the last 2:59?
Yeah.
Made a double. Only real fault of that she had, didn't she? But
well, this is it, yeah. If you're making doubles and still shooting 62s, then, you know...
Frightening.
It is. It's ridiculous golf. But obviously, she strengthens her position as world number one now, and she becomes the first player to win a major and a gold medal ever. Yeah. Male and female, first ever golfer. So we spoke about it the last week and the week before when we were building up the men's Olympics. You've got now history there.
Now Rose has got a major.
Not in the same season.
Oh, yeah, in the same season. Oh,
So in the same season, she's obviously six weeks ago since she won a maiden major victory, wasn't it? Mm. And then now she's won three of her last four tournaments. And obviously gold medal.
Well, the last 14 tournaments, this year, four wins, a gold medal, a major, and got to world number one in the world.
Yeah.
And she's what, 23? Joke.
Gold material.
Yeah.
She's going to compete with Annika's...
Well, when you have a look at Annika's thing, you can make your own assumptions on that one. A
geographical goat debate coming to Sweden, yeah. But then obviously we talked about playoffs, didn't we? I know Matsuyama wasn't able to bring a medal home for his home country in Japan, but that wasn't the same story for Mon Inami. I think I've pronounced that right. Gets a silver medal, final round 65, and wins in another playoff. Lovely. And then Lydia Ko. She becomes the first person in history to win two golf medals after she picked up the silver in the Rio 2016. Lydia Ko is older now
than she was last year. Oh my God.
I have no idea, no. But I did see something on one of the socials, I can't remember which one it was, where... By the age of 24, she'd won more tournaments than Tiger. She's obviously the hottest prospect out there, wasn't she?
Yeah,
obviously back in the day, but I'm not sure how old she is now, but she has been around for quite a while, and she's obviously still doing what she needs to be doing, picking up medals, doing bits. Next Olympics is the 2024 in Paris, so pretty sure people's tune will change for the next one.
Yeah.
About not wanting to go withdraw and not wanting to be part of the, Olympic team. Yeah.
But everyone was loving it, weren't they? Buzzing for it.
Didn't there one bad thing about it? Yeah, I think it was another great tournament, another great exposure for the game of golf as it continues to grow, especially for the women's game as well.
Unreal.
Mm-hmm. And that brings us then nicely onto that time again.
It certainly does. It's that time again, y'all. The birdie boogie bust, the birdie boogie bust, birdie boogie bust.
What's your birdie?
My birdie is just seeing a picture of Kevin Na and Kim in the jet.
Oh, we didn't mention that, did we?
Oh, my God. We made a 13, put 5 balls in the water, didn't he?
I know.
Gangster. So that was the highest score ever on a
par 3.
On a par 3. Kevin Na had a... He didn't even know what he shot on that par 4 when he was chopping around the trees.
Yeah, it was like a... Losing his ball going back to tee, didn't he?
He went back to tee, then he hit another one, then he was just hacking it out the thing. He started laughing, had to drop in the trees and everything, hacked it out, got it on the green and two-putted, and I seen a quote saying, like, we just need John Daly on this jet because he's the highest score ever on a par 5. So I just thought that was just, you've got to laugh, haven't you? Like,
brilliant. No, I did see the picture and I thought that's brilliant, bit of banter in it.
Yeah.
Embracing the fact that they're breaking records for the wrong reasons. Like,
1,000,000%.
Yeah.
What's yours, brother?
My birdie is the release of the 2021-2022 PGA Tour schedule.
Ah.
And we spoke about it, didn't we? In November last year, they done a press release, didn't they? About the alliance where the PGA Tour and the European Tour were going to be working together for these tournaments. And it's this...
Well, it seems to be a major success with the LET and the LPGA mixing up, getting a few bigger names over and boosting the event in Ireland, wasn't it? So.
Yeah, well, definitely. Well, now what you've got, it's as part of the strategic alliance. Genesis have taken over the Scottish Open as sponsorship, so that's still going to remain as a Rolex event, but under new sponsorship. So now Genesis are going to be taking the Genesis Open, which is on the PGA Tour schedule. That will remain, and then you've got the Genesis Scottish Open now.
So the Scottish Open, if you win that, you get a PGA Tour win.
Yeah, you get a PGA and all the exemptions. Yeah, and then likewise, you've got the Barbasol Championship and the Barracuda Championship. They now become co-sanctioned events, so you get up to 50, I believe, European Tour players who can then go over and play on the European Tour.
So
you get 50 entries.
Race to Dubai and FedEx points for them three events.
And then in addition to that, they've pumped some more money into the Irish Open. That's seen a significant increase in prize money. That's gone up to $6 million.
Sick.
So although that's not a
Wales just got it, are they?
And England.
Well, now England have got the
British,
the haven't they?
Yeah. They got the Open.
They got the British Open.
They got the Open. Pack it in.
All Tiger Woods' book and Hank Haney's book, all they call it is the British Open.
I think
just saying.
Champion golfer of the year, it's the Open.
Yeah, okay then.
Leave it there.
Okay.
So yeah, the PGA Tour's schedule, 48 events, includes also a move of the first Feather Cup playoffs to TPC Southwind.
Yeah, so it's this event, isn't it?
This event. It's not a WGC no more, though.
Ah, right.
It's just going to be hosted at the TPC Southwind in Memphis, where we've just seen, and it's going to be sponsored by FedEx.
Ah, nice.
So that's going to be the first of the three playoffs. The BMW will stay, and the Tour Championship at Eastlake.
So what are they going to do with the WGC then? Where have they put that? They moved that?
I think
back to Firestone?
No, I think they've. I think they're just getting rid of one WGC event.
Are they?
Mm-hmm. Fact check.
They can't do that. I think they just got rid of a major. Surely
fact
can't
check
do that.
That. Yeah. No, but that's me, birdie. I just think it's the start of something. Talk about the Premier League of golf, don't we? And obviously, what that.
Well, that's why they're doing it, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's great though, because once you. What we've just spoke about there, about having more links golf on the European Tour, I think that's going to help if you can maybe add a couple of tournaments into that, because the reason the Scottish Open is so attractive is because it's played on links and it's the week before the Open. And then primarily the Irish Open is played on links as well. So you've got three...
You get people coming over and doing the free hit, like all the big boys.
You've got a UK swing with the money. And if you can add another range of tournaments where you potentially play some sort of links golf as well. There's a nice split there.
Well,
I think
we're gonna have Birkdale and Hoylake on this roster.
Oh yeah, you're sorting that.
Don't be worrying.
So what's your bogey?
my bogey's just crashing out. That Mizuno pairs in fantastic style with that yours. Basically your golf, to be honest.
Mate, yeah, thanks.
Nah, just crashing out of that because I feel like if we'd have been half four right for them 6-0, they would have done them.
Yeah, I think if we'd have been four down after six, we'd have won that.
Oh, yeah. Even five down, I reckon.
Just the six down after six.
That
is
six
terrible,
killed us because you were in a good position and he hit into the rough, didn't he? And then found his ball.
Yeah, it was blowing a hooly, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, mate. That was that. Never played and win like that.
It was bad, wasn't it?
26 mile an hour on the Arcos.
We thought we were doing ourselves a bit of good service by playing off the whites, weren't we?
Oh, yeah.
And then they got an extra three shots because of how the stroke rating works.
Killer, that was just playing with the yellows. Yeah. Reds. Stroke, what's yours?
My bogey is just the lack of European challenge at the moment. Ryder Cup here. Not seeing, and obviously take John Ram out the equation because he's obviously smashing it when he's playing. But I mentioned there, 8 of the world's top 10 at the moment are Americans, and it just feels as though like we've seen a bit of a rise, didn't we, where Tommy got in the top 10, Tittle won in America and jumped into the top 10, and we were seeing Europeans challenging. Sergio has won this year on the tour, and I think now, as we're getting closer to the Ryder Cup, there just doesn't seem to be many Europeans with any momentum going into that, apart from John Ram.
Hovland, I think he was the 11.
He's dropped down to 12 now.
12, but...
Anser's gone to 11, yeah.
He's...
I suppose, yeah, he's another one.
He's only won, didn't he? He's like, he's...
But even
he's
if, you take, if you take them two, who would you look now out the European team? And I know the Ryder Cup's always different because it's a one-off tournament and people... Poulter proves that every year. You turn up and you play your passion. You play with your passion. But I just think, you know, who if you look at that European potential team now...
You have to just base it on names, aren't you? Fleetwood, Molinari, like Rory. You have to just put them in and hope for the best.
But we'll talk about it later. Fleetwood mightn't even be in the playoffs this year.
That's what I mean. But if he's... From the performance in the Ryder Cup and the camaraderie and that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? No, I don't know. Like, I'm biased towards Tommy, obviously, aren't we?
Yeah. I think Tommy's probably going to get there anyway, but I think if he doesn't play well this week and he doesn't get in the playoffs, then he's going to lose potentially some key world ranking points. But then I suppose it's a chance for him to go back over to Europe and play the last few tournaments in Europe. He's going to be playing the BMW at Wentworth, isn't he?
He's playing that, yeah.
Oh, so, yeah. You know, at least that's the last potential ranking point for the Ryder Cup spot. So... We'll see, but that's all. That was my bogey this week. It was just obviously seeing now. Obviously, the Americans have just won the gold medal in the Olympics to dominate in the sport. So, you know, Phil Mickelson won the PGA Championship. Yeah. We're seeing Colin Morikawa's won the Open. You know, we're just seeing American dominance. And I just want to see a bit more of a European challenge to the top 10.
Yeah,
albeit John Ram's the world number one.
No, fair enough. Yeah.
What's your bust?
My bust is just, I've put here, pace of play, temporary fences, four shouts, just things that need, like, if we play that course, like I've said before, without the crowds and stuff, obviously the crowds aren't there, but the temporary fences aren't there, so our balls go into different spots that theirs just aren't.
Yeah.
So Bryson never gets that drop if that temporary fence's not there. Do you know what that temporary fence even does?
Yeah.
A little windbreaker, kip of it. And then, like, force out, as you say, like, there needs to be some sort of punishment.
Well, force out for me.
And there's other people on the tee. There should be, what about four shouters?
Yeah.
Just people. Having a marker on the tee that shouts four for them.
Yeah.
And done, but problem solved.
Yeah, well, that was my bust, Bryson not shouting four.
Yeah.
Happening again at the WGC. I just think even players are coming out now and tweeting at him and telling them, like, look, you need to do it. And then I think it was day one or day two that he wasn't shouting four. And then I think day three, he hit one towards the crowd and shouted four. So,
but like, why don't they just have every marshal that says the hushed buddy? What I would see them, what they were saying, like the signs had something
quiet,
funny.
Please.
On them. No, they said something funny, like, oh. Well, anyway, get them to just be like, right, look, if you see a player's ball going to endanger another human being, shout, it's your duty as well.
I totally agree, yeah, it's uncalled for.
Bryson's doing it to get a bounce off them, end off.
Yeah,
it's a little tiny advantage that he's getting, and that's why he's doing it.
But you're going to endanger them because they do
hurt.
Yeah. I've been hit by a golf ball, it hurts.
Jesus, yeah, I know.
Eduardo Molinari, he had a dig saying, obviously, someone's going to get hurt if he's not shouting for.
1,000,000%.
Wiesberger went a step further and saying, like you've said, shot penalties, like for slow play.
Definitely.
Or DQ. Would you agree with DQing?
Not DQ, I wouldn't say. surely after a shot penalty, you're going to shout it every time, aren't you? Punishment, it's there for a reason. Well,
Bryson will never challenge again because he'll be getting shot penalties for slow play. And
I know, yeah.
We're starting every tournament plus five.
Yeah. But, like, I just think, yeah, you could solve that without making them do it. You can get someone else to shout it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's it.
And that's it.
And that's it.
And that moves us on to not the 2001 Ryder Cup,
no.
The 2002 Ryder Cup. So,
because of the September the 11th attacks, wasn't it? The
horrific event in
USA
New York.
The USA team deemed it unsafe to fly over.
Which is perfectly reasonable.
It was on the 27th of September it was meant to be, wasn't it? So,
it was
just after, wasn't it?
Just a couple of weeks after, yeah, exactly. So, understandable why that was postponed.
From the 2001, like it moved to 2002, then they went forward in even numbers then.
And now
it'll get back to odd numbers.
Back odd numbers,
mad,
yeah.
Isn't it? Like,
do you think they're going to keep that, or do you think they'll do another one next year?
No, I think they're gonna keep it.
Are they gonna keep it every 2 years now?
They're
gonna
swap it back.
It was I watched.
Fact check.
Fact check the life out of you there. No, because it is it's Paris, isn't it?
Yeah.
So are they gonna have a Paris Ryder Cup and Olympics both in 2024?
Well, Paris again.
Fact check. Let me come back to you on that.
It was in Paris in 2018, wasn't it? And then it's at Wingfoot.
Definitely not Paris then. right, 2002 Ryder Cup. It was Captain Sam Torrance and Curtis Strange made some emotional speeches at the opening ceremony. And this was roles reversed, understandably, about the events we spoke about in 1999, where there was just chaos.
Oh, yeah.
This was a more well-respected tournament. And obviously, we won't go straight to the end, but Curtis Strange even said afterwards the fact that it was played in such a good spirit and they could all shake hands and have a beer afterwards meant that they were all left winners. But as you know, there's only one winner.
Yeah. 15.5 to 12.5.
I know. Doesn't tell the whole story, though, does it?
No.
It was a close match going into the singles, 8-all, as they went into the singles.
Yeah.
And Sam Torrance, interestingly, had a strategy of putting his top players out first, and that can always be the good or bad.
Because if they lose, then you've got the crabs to come in, whereas they had like Tiger and Mickelson and that at the end, didn't they?
That's what I mean, yeah. And obviously, it was too late. So he put Monty out first. Monty won his match 5-4, and Europe actually won 4.5 points of the first six matches, with the biggest shock coming from rookie Philip Price, who now plays with Shaka's on the Legends Tour, yeah. So he beat Phil Mickelson 3-2, and at the time he was ranked just outside the world's top 120, which left the match with Jim Furyk versus McGinley. Furyk pretty much needed to chip it in out the bunker and lips out, which left McGinley with a putt to win the Ryder Cup, which he sent home and said, anyone who ever gets that chance and that feeling, you just can't beat it to win the Ryder Cup. Yeah, it's just like one of the best emotions ever.
I fucking missed that.
We're never holding them, are we?
But just really going back to my fact check moment there about the moving the Ryder Cup. You saying they were keeping it on the, we were definitely going to move it. They had to move the President's Cup, the Solheim Cup, and the Seve Trophy to their years as well, because if they were on opposite years all in the same, they changed everything. So they changed the whole schedule of golf for this in 2002.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, and they kept it changed. So I don't know if they're going to change. I feel like if they're going to change it all back, they have to change everything back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it says here, the 2023 Ryder Cup. So yeah, it's not going to be next year. 2023, it's going to be in Rome, Italy.
Yeah, so it's back to the same every 2 years again.
Every 2 years again, yeah.
So then this year they'll have the Ryder and the Solheim together, and then they'll probably move them all to where they have opposites, don't they?
Where they have opposites again, yeah.
So, mad that they just up and change everything, like just not a bother on them, is
just it? Just have to adapt, don't they, to the situations that occur, but understandably with everything that happened with 9/11,
definitely,
and the tragic loss of life, so you can understand why they didn't want to come over and play. But another one at the Belfry.
I know, but the last time we were at the Belfry, we won as well, didn't we? So it seems to be a nice little home, the Belfry, but then I think this is like the Renzi, doesn't it?
Well, this was last time they were over in the UK over in Europe to do it was the 97 I spoke about last week, wasn't it? Where the first time they played in continental Europe, which was Seve had them in Spain.
Yeah, yeah.
But obviously, every time they've been in the UK, they've been in the Belfry, haven't they? So 15.5 to 12.5, like you said, the largest victory since the 1985 Ryder Cup.
Mm-hmm.
We've got 8 Ryder Cups to go now until we get up to the current Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits in September, and we've got probably 7 or 8 episodes to go, so we'll see how it goes towards
if we have to cram 3 in on the end, we will.
Okay, so moves us on nicely then to the next part of the GOAT debate.
Yeah, so we've gone a bit of a different one this week, haven't we? We've gone with Sweden, but we've gone with a female versus Annika Sorenstam versus Henrik Stenson, haven't we?
Well, we have to, don't we? Yeah. Do you want to take it away?
I'll take it away, yeah. Sorenstam, she went to college in Arizona in 1991 and become the first foreign-born player to win the NCAA individual title and the first freshman winner. So she was out from the gates from... you know, she's like setting records
straight
early.
Away, yeah.
She won 90 tournaments as a professional. She got the most wins out of anyone. And she won 72 LPGA tournaments. And she's won 10 majors. So she won 3 US Opens, 2 back-to-back, and then 1 10 years after the first one. So it like shows longevity to her career as well. 1 British Open, 3 LPGA titles in a row. And this is the only female golfer to shoot a 59.
Yeah.
So she's got some heavy records. Leading money winner on the LPGA Tour, $22 million, which is $2 million more than her nearest rivals, and she's played 149 fewer events. In 308 career LPGA starts, have a guess how many cuts she missed?
4.
10. Not bad, that, is it?
Very good.
She became the first woman since 1945 to play on the PGA Tour as well. She played in the Bank of America Colonial in 2003. I think she eventually missed the cut, and she put that down to nerves and stuff, but still to match them up and to be putting herself in that category. Like, the girls now should be shouting for it, shouldn't they? If you're wanting Ram versus Corder, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly.
She had 8 Player of the Year awards, and she retired when she was still world number 2. In addition to her 72 wins, she had 46 runner-up finishes, 24 third place showings, and so in other words, 46% of her career starts, she finished in the top 3.
Did she? Yeah.
It's good, that, isn't it?
Yeah, we spoke last week, didn't we, about the win percentage.
Yeah, her win percentage is better than Tiger Woods, yeah, at 23%. And then after turning 50 in October, she was eligible for the Seniors US Women's Open, which she won by 8 shots last week, was that?
Yeah, last week.
Last week, so she's still got it.
She really has. So she really has.
She's achieved a good bit.
Yeah.
And that's just a summary, really. Like, there was more. But I didn't want to just down Stenson, because whatever you got, he won the Open or something.
We never actually got off to a quick start, to be fair. He was still playing off 5 handicap at the age of 15, and he didn't get down to scratch until he was 18. And that was when he first represented the Sweden national team.
Yeah.
In 1996, he won his first and only big amateur title. Won 5 and 3 in the 36-hole finals to win the Italian amateur, and then he went on to turn professional 2 years later in 1998. He won a total of 3 Challenge Tour events. He done the normal progression that you would go up. Yeah. Won 3 events on the Challenge Tour and won the Order of Merit in 2001. To earn his European Tour card. And then from there, he had a steady progression. By 2006, he was in the world's top 20.
Sick.
And in 2007, reached the world's top 10, and he beat Jeff Ogilvy in the final of the WGC Accenture match play to become the first Swede to win a WGC event. And that same year, topped the European Order of Merit and reached 5th in the world golf rankings. And that beat Jasper Farnovic's record. He held the highest male world record position at 7th.
For a Swede.
For a Swede, yeah. So then he became the highest ranked male golfer. Then he had a bit of a quiet couple of years after that. And in 2009, he won the Players' Championship. And then again, reached the even higher position of 4th. But then his form dipped dramatically.
Oh, how he got, yeah, 4th, didn't realise that.
And he got to world number 2.
Oh, did he?
And finished, yeah. Chill out. Chill yourself out. There's still plenty more to go. So in 2009, he won the Players. Yeah. Obviously an amazing event. Got up to world number 4. So at that point, that was where he was at his peak, really, for the time being. And then between 2009 and 2012, he just didn't do anything. His form plummeted, and he went to 230th in the world rankings. So it was like a real sharp rise from 06 to 09. He went from like top 20s to world number 4, won WGC, won Players Championships, obviously contending in a number of big events on the PGA Tour, and one of the best players in the world. And then all of a sudden, the next 3 years after that, went down to 230th. Wow. And I couldn't find anything which that was put down to. Yeah. But then obviously 2012 was when he started to pick back up a bit of form then. He was actually leading the Masters at 6 under before taking a quadruple bogey on 18. Which ties the
goat material.
which ties the record actually of the worst score on that all. Probably not the arguments I want to be given for this goat debate.
You're not really selling sense very well here, lad.
But then on to 2013, the following year. In 2013 was when we started to really see the form that he was hitting 6 or 7 years ago. He came runner-up to Phil Mickelson at Muirfield, but went on to win the FedEx Tour Championships at Eastleigh, and then won the DP Tour Championships in Dubai, and was the first player to be ranked to win both tour championships in the same year.
Ah, sick.
Goat material. In 2014, he reached his highest position and got to world number 2. And then although he had a quiet 2015, in 2016, he won his first and only major championship when he won the Open at Royal Troon. And then later that year, won a silver medal at the Rio Olympics.
Nice.
So in his career, he's won a total of 6 PGA Tour events and 11 European Tour events.
It's mad the way, like, that angel, like, you're living in it. Like, it doesn't sound a lot, does it, really?
Like, 17 wins.
Yeah.
No, what, 17 wins? Yeah. I suppose, what's he turned pro in? 1998.
Well, just shows you, Abe Anser there, 1 win, and he's got 30 million, he's flying.
The game's completely changed, hasn't it, now? Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's mad,
yeah,
isn't it?
So, yeah, we've put the vote out on the social media, and we'll let you know who wins, but as usual with these generational goat debates.
Geographical
goat debates, yeah. Why have I said generational?
That's what he was called, isn't it?
Yeah, I've got the old name there. Geographical goat debates, yeah. There's always one who just edging, I think.
It's hard with the countries, isn't it? It is good, though, to get more into it, like, to see, because I did not know some of that stuff about Stenton, so it's nice to just play a profile. People love to read about player profiles, don't they?
Oh,
really,
definitely.
Do you know what I mean?
Definitely, yeah. So let's wrap this week's episode up with then some tournaments we've got this week. We've got 3 to look at. Let's start with the Kazoo Classic.
Yeah.
London Golf Club.
In Kent. Mm. Never have you been down there? Have you played?
Never played it, no. I had a little look. It's £150 a person for a knock round there.
Not that bad, is it? 165 S&A? S&A is 165.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So it's obviously a high profile course, isn't it? Yeah, it's not just one that you can just rock up and just play.
No.
Because I know when we're playing Fairmont, I think that was like £40 or £50 a round.
Sound, isn't it?
Yeah, so get a good little deal out of that one, yeah. But it's a Jack Nicklaus course design. I had a little look. It's got a look of links with the
wispy grass
in the rough. But bit of a monster course. 7,327 yards, par 72. And the eighth hole in particular is measured in 610.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Hey, the defending champion, Darren Clarke, 2002.
What happened to the English Open all these years?
It just went to bed for a bit.
Because we were having a go, though, aren't they?
Because we were having a go, mate.
Yeah, it's 2 tournaments in the last 3 weeks.
And it was at Everton as well.
Yeah, exactly. There's a few of them, isn't there? Yeah.
Flying, aren't they?
Yeah, you're right. This it's
we
the
need
first...
the Bogey Boys Open, don't we, on tour?
We definitely need the Bogey Boys Open. Let's do it. If you can sort
that. I'll sort that.
So you're right, yeah, the first time it's been on the European Tour since 2002. Darren Clarke actually won this 3 of the last 4 tournaments it was played. So one that he really liked.
Wonder if they're inviting him back as defending champ.
Surely he gets an invite, doesn't he?
Got to, hasn't he?
Don't think he's turned up, though. 12 through 15 should see some birdies. You've got a drivable par 4 and a reachable and 2 par 5. But then you're faced with quite a difficult long finish. The 16th hole measures 484 yards, par 4. The 17th hole is a 225 yard par 3. And the 18th hole is a 468 yard par 4. Plenty of water there.
I'd say fireworks, isn't it? When the longer holes are to finish, gives a bit of rich, separate the men from the boys, and that, don't
know. Yeah, well, that's it. We had that a couple of weeks back, didn't we? Where Dave Horsey knocked one at OB on 18, didn't he? And made a mess and a hash of it, and threw the tournament away. So, there's loads that can go on. The field includes Wiesberger, Slattery, Baldwin, and Gandhi all in the field again this week.
Mansell have another week off, is he?
Mansell, yeah, he's I don't know if he's got an injury.
He's on holiday.
He's on holiday.
I seen he was in Greece, I think.
Oh, nice.
So maybe having a bit of time.
No, he's taking a bit of time off. Yeah, he said something about his wrist. So I don't know if he's trying to recover from an injury. Get it sorted before it gets worse. But he's had a good season, hasn't he?
No, definitely. Yeah.
He'll be back next season. There's no European Tour Q School, so we'll maintain his card.
Everyone just plays the same.
Yeah, plays the same. Yeah. So looking forward to the Kazoo Classic at the London Golf Club. I say Jack Nicklaus course always
a little
takes
test,
up a treat.
It?
Yeah. So we'll be interesting to see how that goes. And then obviously staying in the UK, we've got the Women's Scottish Open. Interesting about this is the amount of fans that they're allowing to attend this event. So when the Scottish Open was...
Why isn't just everything back at full it?
Well, I think restrictions are still in place in Scotland, and I think they're only just getting relaxed. Maybe they're already relaxed now, but I know it didn't come into effect the same time as the UK. Relaxation, no, they've only just done it. So when the Scottish Open was at the Renaissance Club, they allowed 4,000 a day, didn't they?
Yeah.
Obviously, we went up and watched that. But they're only allowing 500 fans per day.
500
fans to enter per day, yeah.
Decent, though, for the 500 that go, innit?
Yeah, they're going to get some good footage, definitely.
God, 500,
yeah.
That's not, innit?
I know, and then I had a little look further, and then obviously at St George's, I know that's UK, so it's slightly different, but they allowed 30,000 per day
at the
Open, and obviously the Open next week, the Women's British Open, 8,000 fans a day. So it's shorter again.
500's a bit puny, though, isn't it?
Yeah, 500. So, yeah, and then what was also interesting about the article that I read is that Rangers are playing a football match this week. I think it's today or tomorrow, and they're allowing a full 50,000 into the stadium. So it's quite...
The rules are just up everywhere.
It's just, you think you're letting 50,000 people into a football stadium, but you're only allowing 500 fans to enter the golf
in open space.
It just doesn't really seem fair, does it?
Stupid.
And when you consider you've got 30 players returning from the Olympics who are coming to play in this tournament as well, it's a co-sanctioned LPGA Tour and LET event again. So the opportunities there, you've got all the top players coming over and playing,
Good chance to showcase the women's golf in the UK. If obviously all the big names that you wouldn't usually get to see.
Yeah, well, definitely. Well, Patty Tavatanica, she's one of the stars in the field. It's only her second ever tournament on Lynx Golf. She missed the cut at Royal Troon last year, but
these are
players that you want to, if you're into the women's golf and you're into to watching it, then they're the type of players that you want to come and see. You're not going to get opportunities to see them. 500 a day. No tickets are going to be available for that yet. But it's at Dumbarney Links in Fife, par 71, and measures 6,453 yards. So it's quite
a 1,000 yards less than the London Club there.
Yeah, and only one shot difference yet. So be interested to see how the scores differ. Weather conditions, obviously, as we know, with the Links Golf, they're always going to play a part. We've seen
definitely
that at the Hero Open last week, but another one I'm going to be looking forward to watch. That'll be on at a good time as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I like that one when they're on the day.
Sky Sports
covering that. The Hero Open was meant to be on the day, but every time you put the telly on, it wasn't there. It wasn't on. You know what I mean? Like, it's happened a few times. I wonder what it is with the rights or whatever.
I'm not sure.
You think at 9 o'clock in the morning you put the golf channel on, it'd be on live golf, wouldn't you? But it's not.
Yeah, because I noticed they only have it on from 1 o'clock, don't they? In the afternoon. So
like, you've got reruns of the Ryder Cup or like how the 1999 PGA Championship was won or whatever, which is like good to watch, like if it's Tiger, but if it's someone else, like, you're just like,
yeah, exactly. Well, it'd be interesting because the PGA Tour, when that's on as well, featured group starts at like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So if you're putting the European Tour on at 1 in the afternoon, then featured groups are starting 2 and 3, it's giving people the opportunity to switch off the European Tour and go and watch something else, and they wonder why there's not much coverage. And especially now with people working from home, a lot of people have got the opportunity.
It must be an issue, mustn't it? A broadcasting issue or rights.
Got to be something going on,
you know.
But
maybe Kazoo have bought it.
But yeah, another we get to watch the Kazoo Classic and the Women's Scottish Open in the day this week. So I'm looking forward to it, and then we'll switch over to the final regular event of the season, the Wyndham Championships.
The Wyndham, yeah. Big week for your mate Will Zalatoris, isn't it? If he doesn't win this week, for all that he's done, can't play the Tour Championships.
No, can't play the Tour Championships.
None of his points count towards anything.
No, definitely not. No, and he's actually be back on the Corn Ferry. Yeah,
obviously he'll be getting his invites, won't he, and all that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's interesting you say that because Bobby McIntyre, my mate Bob. He's also in the field this week, and he's received his first ever invitation to an event on the PGA Tour. He's also a non-PGA Tour member like Zalatoris, so he's got the same category as him. But when he tied 15th at the WGC last week, he surpassed the threshold for special temporary membership. Yeah. So that's what Zalatoris has got
15
now.
And they got like loads of things, like 15 and ties and majors, 15. Yeah. But Zalatoris comes second at the Masters, so I wonder why.
Yeah, so Zalatoris is in the special temporary membership.
No, temporary, so he doesn't like get guaranteed for like whatever.
So
like,
that's why he can get. And I think something happens. Fact check this, but because of COVID, before COVID there was a maximum of invitations that you could receive.
Yeah.
But since COVID, that's been excluded now, and you can get an unlimited amount of invitations. So Zalatoris then, because he hit the special temporary category, and because he was playing well every week and becoming a top 50 player in the world, although he was a non-playing PGA Tour member, he still had the opportunity to be invited to play, and every week he was being invited to play and then perform, and so he's still earning the monetary value of wherever he finishes, but he's not getting any FedEx points because he's not a tour member. So like you say, unless he wins this week, gets the PGA Tour exemptions, he's not going to be able to play.
Yeah. That's Sedgefield Country Club. Yeah. So it's meant to be a Ross design. It's meant to be tricky and like undulating greens and whatever. But the last five winning totals have all been minus 20 or better at this course.
Yeah.
So it's
Birdie Fest.
Take
yeah.
courses apart, don't they?
Boys? Yeah, they just take courses apart. You're right. If they get the scoring clubs in their hand, there's nothing down for them. It's interesting you mentioned it. It's a Donald Ross course on the Bermuda grass, and it's in southern USA, which is exactly like Eastlake. That's also a Donald Ross course. So yeah. if you're talking about preparation for the Tour Championship, you'd think more players would want to turn up to this one, but they definitely obviously having a rest and getting themselves ready for the playoff. But
they're already qualified, aren't they?
Exactly. But there's a few that are on the bubble there that we need
Ricky
to...
Ricky Fowler?
Yeah, there's a few. Yeah, you've got Ricky Fowler, Adam Scott, Gary Woodland, Camilla Villajegas. Yeah, there's a few of them. And obviously Tommy, he's 136th. So like we said, unless he has a good week, he's not going to be at the playoffs.
Well, Jim Herman, who's the defending champ, he jumped from 192nd to 54th with a win.
Yeah.
So it just shows you what a win can do.
It does. Well, I think the ones that are on the bubble there, they're like, see, Ricky Fowler, Adam Scott, Gary Woodland and Kuchar. Them four, in particular, if they make the cut, then that should be good enough for them to just break
in. Yeah. I like it when it goes like projected and thing, and it moves up and down. It's good, isn't it?
It's good, this part, yeah, because every position makes a difference, because then it goes from the top 120, then it goes down to the top 70, and then down to the top 30.
And then it's 10 under, aren't they?
And then it's obviously again, you've got your 10 unders and that, yeah, ready for the tournament. So there's a big cut-off every week, and then obviously you've got number one will start at 10 under, 8 under, 7 under, so on and so forth, yeah, until you've got the winner who goes away.
What in the hell was happening on the PGA Tour where they were shooting 10 under them, getting like plus 16?
What we was forgot going to mention on there, that, didn't
yeah.
we? Yeah.
The champ of it, yeah.
Yeah, and fair play, Eric Van Ruin,
yeah.
Just started working with Duncan McCarthy. We've done an episode with Dunk.
Yeah.
Underpin Sport, yeah. So
check that out.
Seems to be doing some work with Dunk. Obviously process driven work, and it's kept him in the process, and he's obviously
he's a big fish in that pond. He goes to when all the big boys, the big fish come back, he's a little fish, isn't he?
Exactly, yeah.
So
yeah,
but he took
advantage of being a big,
when the big fish went away.
Sat on the crown, yeah. But no, yeah, you're right. Be interesting to see. It's only got two par fives on the course, but obviously both reachable. We're expecting a birdie fest. Yeah. But this is the real crunch moment now, isn't it, for the tournament? I know Patrick Reed's already qualified, one of the best players in the world, but just reading on some, I know you don't like mention P. Reed on the podcast, but this is his fifth tournament in a row. Plus, if he makes the next three and gets to Eastlake for the Tour Championship, and then he's going to have the Ryder. Don't know whether he's made the mistake by playing so many tournaments.
Some people just like to keep active, don't they?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Don't know. I was just when I read that, five tournaments in a row, when you got to think he's been to England, hasn't he, for the Open? He's been to Tokyo for the Olympics. It's a lot of travelling, isn't it?
Yeah,
eight tournaments in
a row.
Obviously,
hasn't got a bed, has he? You know what I mean? He's an absolute weapon.
Yeah, I just thought it was worth mentioning that just to see how his form gets on, and whether the more regular play for him is going to see him perform better. Because what we've noticed with Dustin Johnson, he's been in and out of tournaments all season, hasn't he? And there's just no form to go off whatsoever.
You can't build up no momentum, can you? It's like when Tiger's doing it, like the work ethic that Tiger's putting in behind the scenes, like, and he comes to a tournament, it's like he's been playing.
Yeah.
Whereas these having all weeks off, being everywhere, aren't they? Like,
yeah.
Do you mean, like,
was it Brooks Koepka was twerking at a concert last week?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the way of the world.
It is.
The youth of these days, eh, Kevin?
Oh, God. Back in my day.
Let's have your picks then.
So, my picks are Hideki Matsuyama. I'm going to go based on the first couple on current form. I was going to go with Webb Simpson because he named his daughter Wyndham, didn't he? Remember? We talked about that.
He choked on me beer. Webb Simpson. No, Hideki Matsuyama.
Hideki Matsuyama, yeah.
Hey, pot two.
Rory Sabatini.
Oh, he's mate now, are you?
No, he's still. I still don't agree that he should be playing in the Olympics, but if he's got a little 62 final day in him, then he can do it again.
He's absolutely playing well, isn't he?
So, yeah, and then Armand Hudson. And then Ryder Cup captain Padraig Harrington got a special invite over, so, and I've seen him in pot four, so.
Do you know what pots
likes to make a cut?
Probably one of the first times this has ever happened, this, but pot three and pot four are the same for me and you.
Are
you? Yeah. Gutted there. Catching you as well. I haven't done the points yet, but you're minus 20 this week, so I think I might have you this week. You know, we'll see what's coming. It's getting close to the end of the season, isn't it?
It's doing my head in.
Pot one, I've gone Ricky Fowler. He's upped his game these past few weeks.
And he needs it.
He's on the bubble, isn't he? Yeah. And then pot two, I've gone Matt Kuchar, who again is on the bubble. So it's all
for the
all or nothing.
The ones who need it.
Backs against the wall. Let's see if they can come out fighting. And then obviously Hudson Swafford, whenever he's in the picks, we pick him. And then, I've gone Padraig as well. Getting close to the Ryder Cup, he'll be more than pumped to be playing in these type of tournaments, Tony, and being in and around the players. So,
no, definitely.
Yeah, they're my selections for this week. So, another great podcast, another great golf, another great talking points.
Yeah.
Loved it as always, mate.
Another great talking points.
I don't know what. It's gone past the hour, has it?
In fact, I've got the Chilwell Trophy on Friday.
Have you?
Northern Order of Merit, 36 holer. Do you know the defending champ is? Harry Begg.
Oh, yeah, he did win it last year,
yeah. Well, I'd just like to get back out competing. Have another outside comp.
No, definitely, get out there. I've not played Chilwell.
No, it's boss. Yeah. It's only short, but it's good. Oh, but no, looking forward to it.
Looking forward to playing,
looking forward to the golf, watching it, and looking forward to seeing you at the match as well.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm looking forward to just not seeing you, actually. I wish you didn't spend too much time with you.
We'll have a day off on Sunday.
There we go.
Rest up. No, really enjoyed that one, mate.
That was a good podcast, that.
Yeah, and until next time, we'll catch us all soon.
Ciao.
Ladies and gentlemen, oh boy, is he out of sync.